Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's show is entitled, The Old Self Was Crucified with the EHO. I believe that one of the significant problems today is the lack of understanding with regard to the power of the Holy Spirit to indeed significantly alter or change an individual's life. Now, it is one thing to say that one is a believing one. It is another thing in practice to indeed be a living, a believing one. I say this because I hear the struggles that the believing ones are having today with regard to the old things that should have died, but that are still having a significant impact in their lives today. I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 6 this morning, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace, charis, may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were, and notice the we that Paul uses. We were baptized, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, purpose clause, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe, pivotal here, we believe that we will also live with him. But we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let an act of the will, a volitional decision, volitional act, Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. And that is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. It is pivotal to understand that just as we believe that God has rescued us from eternal separation from Him through the act of Christ on the cross, God has also, or would it not follow, that God would provide for us the power to live lives that are not laden with sin, or burdened with sin, or lives in which we are enslaved to sin? God has, through His Spirit, provided us the power to make that decisive break in our lives with the behavior of sin and its intense craving and desires. So this is what I mean about having a new life in Christ, in which the will has been set free from the things of the past. But notice, if you notice in the passage, we must believe, or we must count on the reality of the decisive break that has come to pass in our lives because of Christ and who He is. He has broken the power of sin so that we no longer have to walk in sin. Now, there are some who teach believers that after salvation, they still possess what is called a sin nature. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I know that from the Greek New Testament, the word that is used by Paul is sarx, that is flesh. It is an ethical term that refers to a type of behavior that is outside of the will of God for the life of a believing one. It is the term sarx. It is not a sin nature. And so we must really understand the psychology of sarx in order to understand how the believing one is to get free and to remain free. It is through the power of the Spirit that these desires, this behavior, these behaviors are broken. If you notice very carefully in verse 11, Romans 6, Paul states, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. So if one counts oneself dead to sin, it would follow that the practice of sin is not possible. Now, in 1 John chapter 1, John states that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. John also states that he said has no sin is a liar, and he deceives himself and tells and the truth is not in. What has taken place in the life of the believer is a power not to practice or to habitually practice sin. But when a believer does sin, we must, according to 1 John 1:9, confess that sin to God. Homologeo, that is to be in agreement with God that one has missed the target of God's will for his or her life through sin. There is the confession, which must also be accompanied by a repentance, a change of mind, not an about face. Repentance means a change of mind with regard to a particular sin. Now, there are sins that are readily manifest in the outward results of such actions. But then there are sins that we do not see, but that are nevertheless reside within the personality. And I'm talking about mental attitude sin. I'm talking about hate, which includes self-hate. I'm talking about bitterness, pikria in the Greek, a word that means poison, bitterness. Poison such as wormwood. The personality is poisoned through bitterness. And not only is the individual's personality poisoned through bitterness, but those within his or her periphery are also infected with this poison. And and resentment, which a word which means to rehearse. People who live in resentment continually rehearse an injustice or wrong or an experience. And what they rehearse is their interpretation of a particular injury that one has suffered with its implication. And so therefore, another mental attitude saying it would be unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is believed to punish the person who has so wronged an individual. But unforgiveness is like, to remain in unforgiveness is like the individual who has been victimized drinking poison and hoping the person who has done the offense is going to be hurt. No. Unforgiveness hurts the individual who practices unforgiveness. Let me say that God has set us free to be ages. The old self that limits, the old self that was before the cross, the old ego, is a Greek word, was crucified, that is, executed, put to death, so that we can now walk in newness of life, have a brand new life, Zoe, that God has provided. It's blessedness of the creature that God has provided for each of us. But it is therefore imperative to understand that it is the start. It is that flesh principle, not sin nature, because you will not find those words in the Greek New Testament. It is the sarx principle that it problems for believers who walk in the flesh or practice the works of the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. Let me say that God has provided made adequate provision for us through his own Spirit so that we may live lives both pleasing to him. God has provided for us a holistic salvation. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Beloved, let me say today, you may walk with life in Christ. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the next podcast.